Jesus come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade.
Praise the Lord. Greetings, brothers and sisters, saints and friends. Welcome to another episode of Esther 414, Hadassah Speaks. I am your host, Hadassah, coming to the kingdom for such a time as this. The opening song is Come Jesus Come by CeCe Winans. So, on this episode, I want to deal with the solar eclipse. And of course, as always, I try to come from a biblical perspective dealing with this. So yesterday, April 8th, was the day that we had a solar eclipse. And in some parts of the country, there was a total blacking out of the sun. And in other parts, the majority of the United States, there was a partial blocking of the sun. So I live in a state where we had a partial blocking, but there were some areas that had a total blackout. And so as I was thinking about the eclipse, I don't know, just certain things that were standing out in my own mind. You know, a lot of people were excited about it because it's something that happens, doesn't happen very often. And so when we have these natural phenomenons, you know, people get very, very excited. And I happened to be out of the state last week, and where we were visiting New York, and they had all these signs on the interstate that would say expect delays on Monday, April 8th, expect delays because of the solar eclipse, because lots and lots of people were traveling to states and cities where they would be able to see the total blackout of the sun. So once again, there were tons of cities across the United States where there was a totality of the eclipse. And I think, you know, where we are was about 80%, something along those lines. But as I was thinking about it, the word that just kept popping up in my own spirit is darkness. Darkness. And so the eclipse for me is symbolized a darkness, because that's what's happening. You know, with an eclipse, a solar eclipse, we have the moon blocking out, coming between the earth and the sun. So it is literally blocking out the sunlight and leaving a shadow of darkness in, you know, over the land, a shadow of darkness over the land. So the eclipse started in Mexico, I believe, and then went on in this diagonal line across the United States all the way up to Canada. And once again, some of the places had total blackout, and then the majority of places had partial blocking. But let's just look at the word eclipse, and then we're going to go into the scripture and talk about the word darkness. Okay, so an eclipse, you know, to eclipse something, an eclipse can be a noun or it can be a verb. So first of all, I want to give you a definition of eclipsing, the verb. So it is to obscure the light from, or to obscure the light from or to another celestial body. So we're obscuring the light from or to another celestial body. And as a noun, the word eclipse is any dimming or obstruction of light. It is any dimming or obstruction of light, a loss of importance, power, fame. So it can also be a loss of importance, power, fame, through the overshadowing by another. So I want you to hold on to that second one right there. So I'll repeat it. The noun eclipse can be considered a loss of importance, power, or fame through the overshadowing by another. Okay, so the last eclipse I believe we had was in 2017, and they don't expect another one for another 20 years, so maybe 2044. But I just want to deal with this level of excitement that people have. And I know people were excited about it because it doesn't happen often where you get a total blackout. And so they were excited to see this phenomenon. But I don't, you know, for me, it seemed like people were excited about darkness. And when do we get excited about darkness? Because for me, when I think about darkness, there's a negativity associated with the word darkness. So it's associated in the Bible when you think about darkness. It's associated with blindness. It's associated with evil. It's associated with Satan, concealment. The darkness will contain unfruitful works. Darkness has a certain power. There's a power of darkness that lurks within it. And darkness is something that should be cast off. There are rulers of darkness, and there, you know, in the Bible, there are parables where you have servants that are cast into out of darkness. You have the dark angels who are chained in darkness or under darkness. So, in the Bible, darkness is not something to be celebrated. It's not something that we ought to celebrate. But this eclipse, you know, even though it's a phenomenon that people were excited to see, but it just made me think that it's more of a symbol of something. And I can't help but to see things through a spiritual lens or through a biblical lens. And so for me, the eclipse symbolized darkness. It symbolized a dark world. Because, you know, the sun gives off light. And so here you have this thing that's overshadowing the light or blocking the light, which we associate with Jesus and we associate it with good. So here I have this thing that's coming over the light, covering the light and blocking the light and leaving us with a darkness. And if you think about the state of the world that we have right now, if you think about the state of our world, it is in a dark place. The things that are going on, just think about some of the cultural issues. Just begin to just think, you know, think in your mind about some of the cultural issues that come to the forefront every time we have an election and the different sides that people will find themselves on. So to me, when I was growing up, some of these things, you know, most people would not have been in favor of. And they certainly wouldn't be fighting and picketing for it and proud to be on that side of it, on that side of some of these social issues. But now, you know, the Christian is seems to be on the wrong side. We're on the wrong side. But you know that in the last days that there was going to be a time when evil will be called good and good will be called evil. And that's the stage of the time period that we are finding ourselves in, where right is wrong and right and wrong is right, where evil is good and good is seen as evil. So we're in a very, very dark place where you have just the hearts of men are, to me, are waxing cold. Then you have the economic situation that we have. Then we have these wars and rumors of wars. And while we were in New York last week, there was actually an actual earthquake. So you know that you're in the end times, and you know that Jesus is soon to return. And we're looking at these signs. And nobody knows the day. Nobody knows the hour. But we don't want to miss the signs that are before us. But I want to try my best to try to help you see what I'm seeing when I look at this eclipse and what it symbolizes for me. And once again, we know that Jesus, the Son of God, when he was here, he was the light of the world. And so now we have America, which has had so many blessings. We have been blessed as a nation because a long time ago, Christ, and we had a biblical foundation. We love God. We were people who love God. We were believers, you know, and we had a biblical Christian foundation. And now that is being overshadowed or eclipsed by secular humanism. So the light is being dimmed. The light is being overshadowed by darkness. So for me, the eclipse kind of represents that. It represents the light of Jesus Christ being overshadowed by wickedness and by evil, by secular humanism, all of these things. Because remember the definition that I gave you. It says a loss of importance, a loss of power, a loss of fame through the overshadowing by another. So the physical light for me represents the sun of the living God, who's now being overshadowed in this country that we live in. He's being overshadowed. So I want to go to Exodus. There are two places I want to go to in the scripture, and so we could look at darkness and the, how the Bible dealt with the darkness and how we ought to view it. I really don't think that darkness is something that needs to be celebrated, but in my mind I just see people standing outside excited to be enveloped in a darkness, and so much so you got all your kids and you're having parties to celebrate this, and everybody's got their glasses on and they're looking up, but they're not looking up to the light, they're looking up to the darkness. Think about it. Just think about it. This is how my mind is working. But let us go to Exodus chapter 10, and we remember the story of Moses, you know, being commissioned to lead the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt. But he had to go to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was a hardhead. You know, the Lord had hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not immediately let the Israelites go. And most of that was still because he wanted to demonstrate his power. He wanted to demonstrate his power to the Egyptians, to Pharaoh, even to the Israelites. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has been here, that it's God that has done the delivering. So he went through 10 different plagues. So this plague is in Exodus, is right after the locusts had covered the earth and ate up all the stuff and just filled the land with so many locusts that it was dark, the land was dark. So, but I'm going to start at Exodus chapter 10. And I'm going to go to verse 19. Again, once this, I'll go to verse 18. This is after the plague of the locusts. And he went out from Pharaoh, he being Moses, went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. Because Pharaoh had asked Moses, you know, to go back before the Lord. Let's get rid of these locusts. Please go to your God. And so Moses did that. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. Verse 19. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. Verse 20. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. So Pharaoh was hard-headed, would not let the people go. So this time, this is a plague of darkness. And he told Moses, stretch out the rod and toward the heaven, and there will be a darkness over the land of Egypt. And it's so dark, a thick darkness that they could feel. A darkness that the people could feel. Verse 22. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. So for 3 days, there was darkness over the land of Egypt. 3 days. Now this eclipse
It lasted about 3 to 4 minutes. This total blackout in some of these cities lasted for about 3 to 4 minutes. Verse 23. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So it's so dark in Egypt, the people can't even see each other. And it's so dark, they don't even want to come out. They stayed in the house because that darkness was so thick that it probably felt like cover over top of them. And they could feel it. But the interesting part, and the part is so much like God taking care of his own. It says, verse 23, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So despite the darkness, for all of the Egyptians, God's chosen people still had some light. Excuse me. So in this scenario, like the darkness was not good. It's not anything they would have went and got glasses to look at. They would have been all excited about darkness over the land. No, I'm sure they preferred the light. So they stayed in their houses and they can't even see their hand in front of their faces. There's no light anywhere except with God's people. They had light in their dwelling. So the next, I'll talk a little bit more about that in the next episode as we begin to deal with the light. Okay, so that's one place. That's Exodus chapter 10, the plague of darkness. Now I want to go over to Luke in the Gospels chapter 23, where we deal with darkness once again, a different type of darkness, a different occasion where there was darkness. And you may very well be familiar with this one as well. So I'm just trying to get there quickly. So Luke chapter 23, and this is when Jesus is on the cross being crucified. So he's hanging there on the cross, and chapter 23. So here we have Jesus hanging between the two thieves. And it says, Luke 23, verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. So verse 44 says, it's about the sixth hour. Now, it shouldn't have been darkness, because about the sixth hour, it's like 12 noon. That's 12 p.m. for us. It's about that time. So, of course, this is in the middle of the daytime. So, it shouldn't have been dark. But from about 12 noon our time to 3 o'clock, it was dark. And the Bible says that the sun was darkened. Just like with the eclipse, the sun was darkened. Now, let's think about that. Jesus is the light of, was the light of the world. Here we have Jesus hanging on the cross with his life slowly leaving his body. Crucifixion is a slow death. So he slowly has his spirit coming out of his body. So slowly the light is leaving. To me, that darkness, the sun being darkened, represents the light in Jesus that they were trying to stamp out. The light of the world was slowly being darkened as his spirit was preparing to leave his body. That's how I see that. So it's no coincidence that there was darkness while Jesus was on the cross. The sun was darkened because the S-U-N was darkened, while the S-O-N, the light of the world, light was being dimmed as his spirit was preparing to leave. Because in the next verse it says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. So, between those 3 hours, Jesus is hanging there and it's in pitch black darkness, just like God in Exodus, where the Lord sent a plague of darkness. So darkness doesn't necessarily represent, well, we already know that darkness, because it represents is the opposite of light, and light is good and darkness is evil. So when I looked at the eclipse, these are the kind of things that were popping up in my head. And you know, we as believers have to figure out, how do we navigate the darkness? Because you know that as time continues to go on and tick along, and based on scripture and prophecy, there's a tribulation that's coming, and things are just going to get worse. There are things, of course, there are some that believe that the believers will be raptured out of here, and we won't be here to experience the tribulation and all of the darkness to come, that the Lord is going to snatch us out of here. And there are others that believe that we will be here. So, you know, whichever side that you're on, you're still going to have to navigate some darkness, and some worse than others. So in the next episode, I want to talk to you about, how do we navigate this darkness? But I do not want to end this episode without playing that full song from C.C. Winans, because I think it's appropriate for what we're talking about, and it's a beautiful song. So before we go, I'm going to finish that one out for you.
Sometimes I feel like
Amen, amen. CC Winers, come, Jesus, come. I hope you enjoy that. Until next time, grace and peace.